Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Members, we're going to be on for the next 30 minutes, and these calls go really, really well if you ask questions. And the best way to do that is to press 00 on the keypad on your phone if you have a question. Now, Mike will be on with us in just a minute. We want more members to get on this call if they can. So, again, please welcome. Please get us some questions if you could. Questions, and you get that done by pressing 0. What happens when you press 0 is you go to one of our operators, they type up the question, we take the question, you get to ask it live. Kind of like talk radio, but it's on the phone. So again, one more time, welcome everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. We really appreciate you joining us tonight. We're going to be on for the next 30 minutes. Members, if you do have a question, especially for the people that just got on, please press 0 on the keypad on your phone. And I'm not going to hand this off until Mike until I get somebody to press 0 on that key, darn it. So let's go. Press 0 on the keypad on your phone if you have a question. Again, we're going to be on for the next 30 minutes. We're going to hand this off to Mike in just about 30 seconds. So one more time, welcome everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Please press 0 on the keypad on your phone like somebody just did. Mike, it's your call. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, good evening, everybody. Thanks for joining us for our town hall. I just wanted to make a few opening remarks to help maybe stimulate some discussion and some questions for later. First of all, I just wanted to let everybody know that a big topic for tonight's discussion is going to be what we've been really focused on for the past few months since our last town hall discussion. And we've been really engaged in managing the risks and some of the impacts of the financial downturn that we're in. I think everybody knows or may have heard that we have a rate case filed with the Public Service Commission. We have been working on developing that case. We make our filing, then we respond to lots of discovery questions from the interveners, and then the interveners develop their response to our case, and then we respond to their response, and ultimately we get to a hearing potentially at the commission on August 31st through September 2nd. So that is ongoing. We've also been really busy with looking at ways that we can save our members money because of just the pressures that we're under. The team's been really engaged in cost reductions and ways to increase efficiencies. Part of that is we've actually looked at a program to streamline and reduce our benefit and compensation levels in response to the downturn, and we're trying to come up with about $3 million or so in savings between our wages and our benefits and then some of our other activities going into 2017 so we can be a lot better financially when 2017 hits. We have yet to see the bottom in the downturn. I'm hoping that this month we'll have been able to get a good view of where we are with our sales. But it's continuing to decline, and as of last month, we were down about 17% in sales from where we were last year. We've been focusing on getting security deposits on some of our larger customers. You might not know this, but 50% or 50 customers represent about 80% of our total revenue. That's a pretty high concentration in some of our large commercial accounts, and about 43% of our revenues right now are coming from companies that are in Chapter 11, which is not a statistic that I want to brag about, but it's just the way it is right now with the conditions that we're facing. So obviously trying to provide as much security as we can for power bills is something that's very important to reduce our costs. The power bills that we're seeing are really being driven by the reduction in sales. That's something that is part of our rate case. We also are seeing these ripple effects work their way through our entire co-op system. And I was just at a meeting at Basin Electric last week where we were talking about this. In July, we'll be getting back together with the Basin folks and all the managers from the Basin member co-ops looking at the forecast for next year. And the pressure is definitely on everybody's rates with the overall decline in the economy and sales pretty much across all the Basin co-op family. So I sure would like to get to taking questions. So if you have any questions, press zero to ask a question, and they'll get you queued up. And if we have any questions that are ready, be happy to start taking those questions.
Well, we've got a – this is Kurt. We've got a pretty peak audience right now, so I'm going to go through a couple of survey questions. Yes, do please – we see some people, by the way, are taking us up on that, pressing 00 on the keypad on your phone for questions. The polling question that I have for you is, do you personally know anyone who has lost their job this year because of economic downturn in Wyoming? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. The question again, do you personally know anyone who has lost their job this year because of economic downturn in Wyoming? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. We'll just let people vote for the, in a second. And it looks right now, as people are voting, it's going to come in about 90% plus or thereabouts for people that they know that have lost their jobs. Mike, what do you think about that?
Well, it's pretty disturbing, I think, and you know, on one hand, and then, you know, just intellectually, I think it's really bothersome, but, you know, the emotional toll that that's taken on people is something that, that really concerns me. I know we've got a initiative with our employees that are working on right now, trying to do a food drive that we can do company-wide to maybe help some of the food banks. I know they're getting really hard hit. It's a terrible perspective when you can see the amount of jobs that are coming out of industry right now in Wyoming. It's very it's very disturbing, and I think that over the next several months, as Wyoming continues to wrap their head around this issue, I think it will become a significant thing that our legislature and our state folks will be dealing with, because of all these things that are occurring certainly don't happen in a vacuum.
Let's do the second survey question if we can right away, just because, like I said, we have our peak audience right now. And the question goes like this. Do you understand why Precorp is requesting a general rate increase for 2017? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. We're just trying to gauge our audience on this. So the question again one more time is, do you understand why Precorp is requesting a general rate increase for the fiscal 2017? 1 is yes and 2 is no. We appreciate you voting on that. And we're going to go right away. By the way, 0 for questions. Let's get some more questions in. 0 if you have a question, just like Dave did. Dave, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Dave, where are you from? What's your question, please?
I'm from am I on?
Yes, you are, sir.
Hello.
Yeah,
okay, my name's Dave. Yeah, I got two questions. One is, if you tie in with renewables to the system, to the grid right now, basically you buy power at retail and you sell it back wholesale. And I guess my question is, how come you guys aren't looking more closely at doing the installations and so forth on that? And the second question has to do with...
Hold on, Dave. Let's get the first question answered. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead with the first answer to the first question, if you would.
Yeah, well, Dave, that's a great question. And as some of you folks out there know, Powder River buys its power supply from Basin Electric. Basin is a cooperative just like us across 9 different states. Basin has about 1,000 megawatts of wind generation that they have been installing for at least the past decade, with new installations of wind on the horizon. And so the overall percentage of renewable energy that we have is it's about 1,000 megawatts on about a 5,000 megawatt base that Basin has. So there's a considerable amount of wind that's within our cooperative family. From the perspective of behind the meter generation, and that's called home solar systems or home wind systems, that is typically done under this process called net metering. And there's a state law right now that requires all utilities in the state to accept net metering at 25 kW, which is a little more than what a house would use typically. Houses are probably in the order of 10 kW, I would say. You could get some that are larger that get to that. But that 25 kW net metering is a state law, and how that energy is transacted and ultimately purchased is defined by state law. Precorp actually went for an exception on that, and we actually allow 50 kW for net metering. So we're actually a leader in the state on what we would allow for net metering, although we're the same as everybody else, we wait to the end of the year and we see how much generation has been generated in excess of what's been used, and we pay the price we pay for that is basically what we call our avoided cost. And the reason that we do that is we don't feel that it's appropriate for the people that don't want to have net metering to subsidize the costs and for those that want to have it. And so by using our avoided cost, essentially what we're doing is the net metering doesn't really contribute to capacity, and it offsets fuel costs, and so it's very closely aligned with the cost of fuel, and that's how that transacts under Precorp's rates.
And let's take Dave's second question. Dave, you ready? Dave, go ahead with your second question.
Yeah, you know, we've watched rates go up slightly, Mike. I know you guys invested in Dry Fork, and that didn't turn out to be such a very good investment. And would you comment on that, I guess?
Well, actually, I don't know where you heard that, Dave, but that's not right. Dry Fork has been a fantastic investment. The plant itself is a state-of-the-art plant. It's actually right now going to be the site of one of the world's few carbon capture test facilities. So Wyoming is actually a leader in trying to figure out how to turn CO2 from a liability into an asset, and that's happening at Dry Fork. The reason that that's going on at Dry Fork, number one, is the new technology for emissions that Dry Fork has, other than CO2, provides a very suitable flue gas stream for them to do the testing. The overall cost of the Dry Fork station for the 385 net megawatts of generation ends up with a variable cost that is actually very competitive on the market. So the Dry Fork runs at a pretty competitive rate in the market. It's got mine mouth fuel, so there's no rail cost with the fuel cost, and it's probably one of the most efficient plants that Basin Electric runs right now, very cost effective.
Let's try to get some more questions in, ladies and gentlemen. Members, if you could press 0 to ask a question, that'd be great. 0 on the keypad on your phone. This question came in earlier. Where are we on the safety issues was the question that came in earlier from Aaron.
Well, yeah, safety is and continues to be one of Precorp's main priorities. It is our top priority, and safety really manifests itself in a couple ways. First of all is our employee and worker safety, and the other side is public safety. And Precorp, I think, is a leader in the co-op industry on how we handle both those aspects of safety. Our maintenance program has our operations folks hands-on inspecting 20% of our system each year, and so problems that we have that could be safety-related are found and fixed almost in real time. So our system has been, over the past 3 years, our system reliability and our outage levels and so those things have been improving quite a bit with that. And the Precorp culture is one of continuous improvement, and that is also manifesting itself in our safety programs. Our employees actually own and take great responsibility for our safety program, and I think we have great statistics and are a leader with our safety record and the metrics that we have. So I say that also hoping that I don't jinx anything that's out there, but I'm very proud of what our team has done, and both internal for our worker safety, employee safety, as well as the public safety.
We had another question that came in from Daryl. When's the PSC rate case going to be heard?
The rate case will be heard on August 31st through September 2nd. And that rate case is really driven by a huge revenue shortfall. Our operating budget for this year showed about an $8 million deficit. And so we've gone back to the commission to get enough revenue so we can meet our minimum operating requirements that are required by our lenders, so we don't find ourselves in default of our loan agreements with our lenders.
Again, 0 for questions. If you have a question like Betty, press 0 on the keypad on your phone. Betty, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Betty, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
I'm from Newcastle, and I am almost 80 years old, so I can't run if there's an emergency. But my question is, what can you do to help handicapped people if there is an extended outage?
Yes, Betty, that is a great question, and I really am glad that you brought that up because this is something that we like to talk about. We actually maintain a list of services, so if somebody like yourself or somebody that you know should call our office and let them know that your service, you know, that your service is, that there's oxygen or life support or other critical needs, then we keep that into effect when we have planned and routine outages. We'll look at, before we take out a circuit, we'll look and see what kind of contact we need to make to people on that circuit. And obviously we pay special attention when we know that we have those things in play. And then also during outages, if we see that we have extended outages and we know that we've got people that have critical needs, we will make extra effort to call people and keep those folks informed as to the potential time of an outage and help them have enough notice so they can get relocated or moved to someplace that does have energy. And Betty, we'll make sure that we have somebody call and follow up with you personally to make sure that we have your information and everything is correct. And everybody that's out there, I would just encourage you, if you know somebody that is on life support or oxygen or something like that, to remind them to contact the office so we can have a continual update to that information that we have in our system.
Diane asks, how do our rates compare with other cooperatives in towns in the region?
Well, Precorp is very competitive all across Wyoming. There are a couple co-ops that have rates that are less expensive than us. Those co-ops have access to some very cheap hydropower in the west that doesn't come this far into the state. But we continue to be really competitive among all the co-ops. I think we, if you take a look, I haven't done the calculations lately, but I've had folks around Newcastle and Upton that are on other power suppliers other than us tell me that they wish that they could figure out how to get connected into the Precorp system, because usually our rates, as well as our capital credit and retirement policy, is pretty favorable. So the co-op model works pretty well for us.
Where are we? I guess we're at what, about a dollar three per thousand kilowatts, and what's the state average? About a dollar twenty. $120 rather, compared to $103, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sort of like on your average bill. Precorp's average bill is about $103 compared to the average across the national median is about $119. And if you take a look at us in the state, we're at $103 roughly compared to $125. Across the state on the co-ops, 114 in municipalities, and 110 for the IOUs.
Let's take a question from Darren. By the way, last call, if you have a question, press 00 on the keypad on your phone. Darren, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Darren, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
I'm from Pine Haven, Wyoming.
Go ahead,
and
Darren.
My question is, how does the price of coal affect the rates of electricity?
Well, Darren, I would say from the two different ways. First of all, from the perspective of where Precorp, through our affiliation with Basin Electric, to where coal becomes, you know, is a source of our own electricity. If the coal prices go up, then that could impact our prices. Fortunately for Basin, Basin actually owns its coal mines and it owns the coal, so it has pretty much protected itself against the risk of price increases from our cost of power perspective, and so that has helped us maintain for many, many years, you know, long-term stable prices. You go into the other side of that equation, the way the coal market is currently, gas prices are so low that it is taking a lot of the generation nationally. And so what's happening is the low gas prices, or you know, compared to the higher coal prices per unit of electricity that could be generated, what's happening is we're seeing a big decline in the amount of coal that's getting produced because of the natural gas. And so because of that differential, our sales are going down, and you know, our rates are going up, as well as what we talked about earlier with 87, almost 90% of our folks seeing job loss in the energy industry. That's a big part of that, is that differential between very cheap gas and where the coal prices are.
We just lost Brock, unfortunately, but he was talking about the maintenance on the poles, and I know we want to take that question. We just lost him. So can you give us an update on maintenance? He said some poles were looking kind of a little bit off.
Well, first of all, if Brock has got some specific areas that he's concerned with, to call in and let us know, because we will take all the information, as many eyes that we can have on the system. With things that look strange to people, let us know. Oftentimes the pole may look, you know, just because the pole looks good, it may not be good, or just because the pole looks bad, it may not be bad. And that's why we actually have, in addition to looking at 20% of our poles each year, 20% of our system each year, we also have a robust pole maintenance program where testers go out and they inspect the pole visually, and they also do some testing of the poles to make sure that they are sound, to make sure that we don't have any issues for, you know, poles falling over or other things like that. So I would say that I think our maintenance program is pretty aggressive, both with our regular maintenance plus our pole testing program. But testing is not enough. You also have to get out there and change out the poles that are bad. And when we identify poles that are, critical, if it's an emergency critical, they'll get changed almost real time. And some poles maybe get classified and changed within a month. After that, we may schedule the pole change out to get a large group of poles, so we can be more cost effective and change them out in mass, so we get some economies of scale with those.
The next question is, this came in earlier, and it's from Donna. How can we learn more about the rate case and other things happening with the cooperative?
Well, there's several different ways to keep in touch, and I'd like to just highlight, first, we have our annual meeting, which will be August 27th in Buffalo, starting at 11 a.m. That is a great place to come and get information on the co-op and learn more about what's going on. These town hall meetings, our next town hall is scheduled for September 28th. And then also our website is a great resource of information for our members to learn about the co-op. And then monthly we send out our the REN magazine, which has the Powder River Energy insert in that. I have an article that I write where I try to keep everybody sort of queued up on maybe some of the more interesting and strategic things that we're facing. And then there's just a host of good articles on information from the foundation to our maintenance programs to public safety. So keeping active in the annual meetings and our town halls, looking at our website, and making sure that the REN gets a quick perusal for items of interest would be really good ways to keep in touch with the co-op. Then also, if there's ever any questions that a person has, I'm calling in and speaking with our customer service and member service folks with any questions. We'll get people connected to the right experts within the company to help you with any problems or questions that you may have.
And speaking of going to the website, a copy of this audio will be on there. You can just click on it and listen to it, or have others listen to it if you want. It'll be posted tomorrow. We're going to take Clara next. Clara, welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. Clara, where are you from, and what's your question, please?
I live southeast of Rosette on a ranch and get our power from you folks. And I wonder how many people are really aware that there's a lot more involved in this job loss in the energy field than just some coal workers or oil workers losing out on their jobs. I have a son-in-law who has lost his job due to the cutbacks. I have a grandson-in-law who was laid off, same reason. I have a daughter who was laid off, same reason. And I've got some other relation and close friends.
Yeah, Claire, that's one of the things that I've been, you know, I've been preaching as I've been out talking around the state. I get around, you know, I get out of the service territory and in Cheyenne and other parts of the state quite a bit. I think from the state perspective, I think we all have a pretty good awareness of how it's impacting Wyoming. But I think the ripple effect of the punishment that has been dealt to the energy industry, specifically the coal mining and some of the oil and the gas industry that, you know, that we have in Wyoming, I don't think that ripple effect has been felt yet. Whenever the most recent jobs report just came out, I think it was termed to be quite disappointing numbers in job growth for the United States, much less than what they had anticipated. Nobody was connecting those dots yet to the impacts in the energy industry, but I think it won't be long before they start to connect those dots. It seems like it takes, you know, a lot of, from the national perspective and even the multi-state regional perspective, it takes more time for these things to work their way through so people actually understand them. It was interesting that several years ago the university did a study on what the Clean Power Plan might do to the coal industry, and that I think that study said about 7,000 jobs across Wyoming that could be lost, with a 1 in 10 in northeast Wyoming. And even though the Clean Power Plan has not been put into effect yet, the low gas prices plus the uncertainty created by the Clean Power Plan, we've already realized the devastation to our coal industry and those tragic losses of employment in Wyoming and some very well-paying and traditional, successful and sought-after areas of work in our state. It's something I think that the ripple effect will take some time to be felt in other places outside of our state. But that's a great observation, Claire, and my heart goes out to you and your family and all those others that have been affected by this pretty significant downturn. And I hope that folks know that Precorp, one of the messages I've been telling the employees is we are here to serve our members. We're not here to be served by our members. And the team has been working very diligently to reduce the costs where we can and support our cost reductions in everything from wages and benefits to how we go about doing what we're doing. And we're working very hard with all those things in mind that have happened to our members and their families as a result of this downturn.
We have run out of time, Mike. We're just at about our 30-minute mark. We've got about a minute until we get there. To anybody that had a question, whether they press zero or not, you can still leave us a voicemail at the very end of this call. You've got to stay to the end of this call. But we have to have some contact information to get back to you. We need your name at least. And, of course, your phone number and or your email address so we can get back to you even quicker. So stay to the end of the call. Leave us that message. Tell us who you are and how to get to you. Mike, bring us to the finish line, please.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Kurt. Everybody, again, I truly appreciate you spending time with me this evening to get an update on the co-op. I appreciate your interest in your cooperative. Remember, it is your co-op. You're an owner of the co-op. That's important thing for all of us to keep in mind. We appreciate the opportunity to answer questions and have a dialogue. Just remember, if you didn't get all your questions answered, feel free to leave that at the end of the call, or if you have some other questions that come up as you think about this, feel free to call the office and look for a recording of this on our website if you'd like to replay it and share it with your neighbors. And hopefully our next call on September 28th, you'll be back and maybe bring a friend.
Good night, everyone.